In connection with the catechism preaching on Lord's Day 24, let us read from the letter to Paul of Paul to the Galatians. Galatians 2, verse 11 through 3 to 14. So let us listen to the word of God as it comes to this passage, Galatians 2, we stand with verse 11. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him, and I, that's the Apostle Paul, withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which are destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed in God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, now that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nation shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Thus far the reading of God's word. May the Lord sanctify that in our hearts. And we focus this afternoon on Lord's Day 24, on the justification. Let us read Lord's Day 24. Question 62 asks, but why can our good works not be our righteousness before God, or at least a part of it? The answer, because the righteousness which can stand before God's judgment must be absolutely perfect and in complete agreement with the law of God. Whereas, even our best works in this life are all imperfect and defiled with sin. But do our good works earn nothing, even though God promised to reward them in this life and the next? This reward is not earned, it is a gift of grace. 64 asks, does this teaching not make people careless and wicked? The answer, no. It is impossible that those grafted into Christ by true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. That's found in Lord's Day 24 of our Heidelberg Catechism. After the sermon, as message that we are justified in Christ, we will sing the Amen song with Psalm 56, the verses 4 and 5. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, God's people, can have or make short sayings or mottos in which they like to express what the Lord means to them. A summary of what also the gospel of the word tells them. One of the reformer Luther's statements is, the true treasure of the church is the most holiest gospel of the glory and grace of God. Most of you, even the students of the school, they know Calvin's motto, my heart I offer to the Lord, to you, Lord. Calvin did it promptly and sincerely. The seal of your congregation, the church, the seal of the Reformed Church of Albany reads, Sun of righteousness, shine upon us. Maybe you have your own motto, logo, or a phrase. Mine, for example, will be very short. salvation belongs to the Lord. So those statements express what? In different ways, they point to a very important matter of our faith, of our being, of being a congregation, that our highest good is the Lord's. God is our highest good. He extends the gospel to us. By his grace and mercy, he makes us into willing servants, and through the power of Christ, we are his righteous people, his just servants. And that's truly the astounding reality with us. We confirmed that reality already this afternoon by the Apostles' Creed. You sang it loud and clear. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, and he is our Savior. And then also, I believe in God the Holy Spirit. He is the sanctifier of our life. And those convictions or confessions, beloved, don't stay in our minds, in our heads. They don't just come out of our mouths either. No way. They have a life-changing effect on us. Here in God's house, by his divine power, a dramatic change occurs with us. So dealing with Lord's Day 23, last Sunday, we rejoiced in the truth that God makes, that was the theme, the message of last Sunday, Lord's Day 23, God makes the impossible possible. That he changes wretched sinners into righteous saints. Therefore also we confess this afternoon the communion, not of sinners, but we confess that we are a communion of saints. Lord's Day 24 then has the same focus as 23, that we are justified in Christ. And then also without any merits of our own. It is by God's free grace, by God-given faith, by our true faith, as we also can say it. That's the teaching gospel message for this afternoon, beloved. We are justified in Christ without any merit of our own, by God's free grace and by true faith. We are justified in Christ. First, then, without any merit. And so, indeed, a well-known question in Lord's Day 24, it asks, why can our good works not be our righteousness before God? Or at least make some contributions to our righteousness. The answer given points us to the law of God. Why does that matter? Why to the Lord? Well, you know, God's law clearly shows how we should live a holy life with him. And so if we would make a meaningful contribution to our salvation, then such an effort should be absolutely perfect in the sight of God. Could you do that? Could I do that? A very holy, you could say a good work of us, is praying to the Lord. And in praying to the Holy God, one needs to be fully concentrated and focused on the mighty God, so that we totally are pleasing in His sight. But do we do that? Can I do that? Even in prayer, beloved, the most holy thing in good work, in prayer, how quickly are our minds wandering as well, wandering away to something what we plan, what we like. Even here in the house of God, is your mind fully perfectly in tune with giving your life totally, perfectly to Him? We need to confess, to be honest before God. We do so also every time in worship services. No, we time and again have to plead on the sacrifice of Christ. We need forgiveness of our weaknesses. I don't have perfect holiness, not in speaking, not in listening, not in living. Sin within us is the great distractor in our life. We cannot be with God in own strength. If we would do so, He would turn His face immediately away from us. He would not hear us. From ourselves, we have not and cannot contribute anything towards salvation. Our imperfection rules out a home brand righteousness, so to speak. And that's why we need the truth of the gospel of Christ Jesus. In fact, that's why we need Christ, the perfect one. And because the gospel proclaims Him, it proclaims to us that Christ earned everything for us. His perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness are then transferred to our account by our loving covenant God. And so, loved ones, we have salvation. We are righteous before God only in Christ, without any merit of our own. And that's an essential truth of Scripture. Because of man's fall into sin, man cannot and even wouldn't come to God on his own. Indeed, as we also think of last Sunday, we heard the same truth proclaimed to us and taught to us. Loved ones, sin is the big barrier between us and our Heavenly Father. Nothing within us can make it that we come and that we are pleasing to God. To work along that way with our own presentations toward God, that would be totally foolish. In the Galatians, that's the reason why we read that part of the letter of Paul to the Galatians, the Galatians were in danger of doing just such a foolish thing. The Apostle Paul then tries to bring them to their spiritual faith senses. And he does so in terms which cannot be misunderstood. Very bluntly he says, "O foolish Galatians, why are you throwing away your righteousness in Christ?" In a way, the apostle says, "You Galatians, you have gone completely nuts in following the works of the law." For remember, those works of the law, they condemn you. Those works show that you aren't redeemed, that you remain sinners. You remain sinners. It is the more remarkable that on that point, Paul had to oppose No one less than Peter, the Apostle Peter. That Peter acted wrongly in taking sides with the Judaizers, the Jewish legalists who hold on to perform works of the law. Those people insisted that next to faith in Jesus Christ, also circumcision, a work of the law, needed to be kept. Circumcision is akin to strictly keeping the Old Testament ceremonial law of Moses. And for them, circumcision was necessary for salvation. When then the Apostle Paul saw what was happening, and that Peter and even Barnabas were not being honest about what they truly believed, that Christ had fulfilled the law, Christ had done it all for them, so the Apostle Paul resisted them vehemently. In front of all, the apostle said to Peter, "You know very well that we cannot become right with God by obeying the Jewish laws. Even though the law is important, but whatever deed and or work we do, our own work is not the way unto God. The law won't save us whatsoever." And then Paul's teaching, in short, is the way. What is the way for salvation? In Christ. The way is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The key verse in Paul's teaching in Galatians is verse 16. "You know that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ." Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Never, ever, beloved, can you rely on your activities as if they should be pleasing to God unto salvation. If you focus on your own activities, bit crude to say, but our own activities in itself, they stink as the work of the devil. And they won't have, therefore, any merit unto salvation. The same teaching is given in the letter to the Romans. The apostle of the Lord teaches the same there. If believers rely on their own works, they remain fallen sinners. The same teaching as in Galatians. If we rely and we are happy, we go for our own works as they save us, we continue to remain sinners, fallen sinners. Loved ones, salvation never comes from below, from ourselves. It comes from above, from the law, and from the Lord. And that's exactly why on Christmas Day the heavens broke open in full glory, and Christ, the Son of God, of the living God, came from heaven to earn salvation for us on His work, on His merits. So once more, it needs emphasis. We cannot and aren't even able to begin getting points, getting any points or merits unto salvation. This Christian truth doesn't come across as very flattering to people, does it? For we like to be active. We like to do our bit too. And through the history of the church, we see the drive of people to climb up to heaven from below, to do so by own work, by own contributions. And to mind come then people like Pelagius, Arminius. You know them, hopefully, still from your catechism time. Men, Pelagius and Arminius, men who promoted the idea that man himself would be able to get rid of sin, or at least contribute to do something to that. Against Pelagius and like-minded people, our catechism says that's impossible, because even our best works, as we point out, praying, our best works in life are imperfect, defiled by sin. And there is no saving merit. It doesn't mean that we don't have to pray, but the point is there is no saving merit even in the most holy things that we do. And so against Arminius and his followers, the Canons of Dort, another confession that we have, says, all men are conceived in sin and are born as children of wrath, incapable of any saving good, inclined to all evil, dead in sin, slaves of sin. And, I paraphrase, weakened by sinful flesh, it leaves us under the curse, same as Paul says to the Galatians. We cannot, by keeping the law, to get salvation. Our salvation, our righteousness before God, is in and through Christ. Loved ones, especially the younger generation here, so beware. In our expressive and activist culture, we need to be alarmed by increasing worship activities. Around us in groups, in churches, you find an increase, a lot of work, spiritual work in worship. At the cost of the clear gospel preaching and teaching like we have in the catechism, the teaching of righteousness only in Christ, people try to get spiritually high by a lot of contemporary worship activities. And are they pleasing in God, we ask? Or themselves? Beware. Such evangelical and contemporary worship is mingled with Pelagian and Arminian tendencies. This is their human drive. We need to do something. We need to show that we can contribute to our salvation. Yet the truth of the gospel is not what we do, but the great and holy or even exuberant things. It will not save us. It will not make us righteousness. Christ does. Our confession here is time and again, we are justified in Christ. Christ is our salvation. So our activities for church, our activities also for the coming of God's kingdom, need to be done in all humility, with a sober mind, should be done in Christ, totally relying on his merits. So in praise to him. So beloved, our drive comes from above. With us, the focus is totally on our Savior, Jesus Christ, not on what we like or even what we want to do. Let's never forget what Luther's said, the true treasure of the church is the most holiest gospel of the glory and the grace of God. We now turn to question and answer 63, the second question of Lord's Day 23-24, hooks in with the first. But does the Bible not speak of reward for good works? Indeed, it does. In keeping the commandments, there is great reward, a great, great reward. You know, we sing that in Psalm 19. In keeping the commandments, there is great reward. The same thought is expressed in the book of Proverbs and in Hebrews. In Hebrews 11, we are told that Moses looked to the reward. In Revelation 22, we are informed, behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me. So these sayings raise the question, on what basis? On what basis then is reward in Scripture given? Is it after all because man has obeyed God so well and been such a faithful and active servant? So, if in church all is grace, why then does the Bible still speak of reward? This gives the impression as if believers are saved, yes, somehow because of what they do, of their work. Are they in heaven because of their hard work for the Lord? Are, after all, they have done a lot of things for God and his people. Therefore, isn't it true that we can work ourselves up to heaven? Or at least can contribute something to that place in heaven? No, loved ones, never draw that conclusion. Again, it needs emphasis. Our covenant obedience and work for God's kingdom do not pave the way to the throne of the Lamb. That happened, that way to God, to heaven, to the throne of God and the Lamb, that happened along which way? Through the flesh of the Lamb. You read Hebrews 10. It happened by Christ sacrificing himself even to the death on the cross. See, the gospel also is crystal clear. Read the gospel of John. Time and again it emphasizes the atonement, the suffering of Christ. It already starts in the chapter 1, immediately points to Christ as the Lamb of God. He covers the sins and the transgressions for our salvation. Jesus, our Savior, earned, prepared, and still prepares the place for God's redeemed people. Indeed, in heaven, as the Lamb of God, he makes our house in order. We read that in John 14. For us, being justified in Christ, is therefore a great comfort. It is given to us. What a comfort. But again, why then does Scripture speak about reward? A congregation, God does not reward the amount of work or the numbers of hours or the quality of what we do. Not the amount. Not the number of hours, not the quality. The reward God gives is not based on merit points. And you will feel it coming now. On which basis is it grounded? On which base do we get full salvation? Not on merit points, but on grace. Here the Lord's parable of the vineyard workers in Matthew 20 can help us. All the workers, they receive the same pay, regardless of the hours they had worked. So out of grace, the owner rewards them all equally. The Lord is not obliged to do so, yet he does. He graciously gives them. Graciously, he is generous. And even if at other places scriptures speak differently about reward, for example, in the parable about talents, there the meaning too is everyone receives his or her full reward, and that happens only on the basis of Christ's redemptive work, his work to us. His reward is given out of grace. The reward must be linked to the fact that we have life and salvation in Christ. That is the message here this afternoon, time and again. It is in Christ. So not only forgiveness of sins, getting a place in heaven, or say redemption, being justified, sanctified, glorified. That whole bundle of salvation. They are not our rewards. They are all free gifts of God, his grace in Christ Jesus. And we could say at the end, the Lord crowns then his own work of salvation. He tops it up at its fullness at his day. How? That is still a mystery. How we get that full reward and full glory, we do not know. We can't even fathom it. The only thing is we can dream about it. But it will happen. Rejoicing in God, in the God of all grace, with all his people, out of grace, mere grace, that God wondrously is topping off all his graces in heaven. But he is God, the God of all grace. So our salvation is his work for the full 100%. We can't even start to imagine its great benefits and glory. So congregation, does it now mean that it's just very simple for us, isn't it? Easy. God is doing everything for us. That's great. From the foregoing, one could get the impression, well, good and dandy, we get an easy ride on Christ. If it is all grace and no work of us, so here, we can relax, can we? Just enjoy our justified life in my lazy boy. For Christ has made it all for me. Simple. Beloved, are we off the hook if we can't contribute to salvation? Count it a blessing, beloved, that you don't have a comfortable pew here in the church. Here, you need to sit straight to worship your all-giving God. You can't be here distracted by a host of activities or other things. Here, you are warmed and at the same time comforted by the gospel of Christ. And that takes work. Never forget the gospel is full of God's power of true life, the life of salvation. The gospel, be focused on that time and again. The gospel, it said, is full of God's power of true life, and that's the life of salvation. Well, what's then the true drive in our life? In a sermon on Lord's Day 23, the attention was already drawn to that power. Remember what the drive here for us in our life with the Lord. Then we pointed out in Lord's Day 23 these words. But it says, believing all this, and then it points to the 12 articles of the Apostles' Creed. It also, Lord, 23 has the phrase, if only I accept this gift with a believing heart. And surprisingly, Lord, 24 points again to the energy within us to live an active, justified life. And, beloved, the energy is again given to us. What? The energy is our God-given faith. It also points to the fruits. It's plural. Fruits of thankfulness belongs to faith. So it's already pretty clear. We aren't off the hook, beloved. We are not off the hook working out salvation, working out each other's salvation. Luther didn't. Neither did Calvin. They have been very active in faith. And I like to assume that the Free Reformed Church of Albany has here the same faith drive your forebears had, written in that seal that you have, that logo, Son of Righteousness, shine upon us. That's a clear confession that here you won't merely rest on your justification laurels, on your justification salvation work of Christ. You receive faith energy to be involved in Christ church building and gathering work. Think of the sermons on Christ church. The phrase to be involved clearly indicates the calling that comes with being justified in Christ. Yes, our righteousness is Christ's work for the full 100%. And yet the other side is that by faith, you and I are involved. Christ is full for the full 100% earns our salvation. For the full 100%, we now have to work out our righteous life in Christ by the God-given faith. Loved ones, you see, we aren't at all off the hook in being righteous in Christ. Being righteous in Christ is not a mere declaration. It's not just a dogmatic statement. No, by faith it needs to be our life, our justified life, to showing abundant fruits of thankfulness. The fruits a vine brings. Think of John 15. Points out to our full involvement with Christ's work. And the New Testament, beloved, points to those fruits in its apostolic letters. I'd just like to mention two passages, and maybe you can pick up your Bible with me, and we will look at two passages. Romans 12. Where our involvement in salvation work is pointed out. And I only read the verses 1. That's already clear. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable, or that is your word, that is your gospel service. And then you find in Romans 12 how the body of the Lord functions. One is a hand, One is a foot, and all those functions of the body have their task and be active, involved, full involvement in the church and building each other up. Another text is Philippians 2. Philippians 2, a very well-known text, but very often misunderstood. Philippians, after Ephesians, I think. Philippians 2, verse 12. I first of all also would like to point out that these letters are not written to just one individual. It is written to the whole congregation of the Lord. So what do we read in Philippians 12? Philippians 2 verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, that are God's people, the true believers there in Philippi, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, so that congregation in Philippi is vacant. Paul could not work among them. What does he say then? Work out, and then our translation says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, it has to be said, again, it is a plural. So that own is not just individual. Very often we understand the text as, now I have to work that out myself. But that is not in accordance with Scripture. No, that is amongst each other. You have to work at each other's salvation. Care for one another. And do so together as members of the church. Encouraging each other. And also caring for each other. For the members, there's so much need in every congregation. And I've experienced as well, there are many seniors in your midst. We all need encouragement. They need to be looked after. The Apostle Paul, he couldn't do that anymore. He was in prison. And so he says, now you people, you are fully involved, Romans 12, as a members of the body, help each other do so. And that with fear and trembling, that means and that you need to have courage in the Lord. Don't do it in your own strength. So you see here, we are justified for the full 100% by the Lord God. But we are not off the hook. We are fully involved in this work to show it to others, be with each other. And so our salvation is indeed God's work. But at the same time, our life of being righteous only in Christ makes us for the full 100% being involved in God's salvation work. So to the only wise God, that be the glory, not our glory. God gives all the glory for salvation, in which we may be ourselves involved, but also to the praise of God in and through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.